more importantly, Halloween, what's your favorite candy?
I'm still a big fan of the caramel cream.
Right. All old people like that candy, so I get that. That's you're old, and that's an old person candy.
No, it's not an old person candy.
Oh, my God.
Werther's Originals are the old person candy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, baby. Happy Halloween. It's me. It's Florio. Florio was texting. Who knows what he was doing? He's getting inside information. I don't know. But what's up, everyone? Sims, Florio, Unbutton, PFT, PM, collaboration. All right. We're doing pretty good. Happy Halloween, Michael. When's the last time you dressed up?
Oh, hell, I don't know. Long time ago. So long ago that I don't even care to try to figure it out. Actually, I was ordering your Christmas present. I'm getting you a moose chastity belt.
Oh, thank you. I might need one. I might need one. Need to protect that area there since you're calling for penetration lately, okay? Yeah, thank you.
All right. I regret starting down that path already.
All right. I don't know what the last time I wore a costume either is. I can't remember what.
I don't like it. I just don't like it. It's too much pressure, right, as an adult. Like when you're a kid and growing up in the 70s, the costume consisted of going to the local department store and getting the box. It was like this box. It was a rectangular box, and you lift off the lid, and it was a mask that had this cheap-ass rubber band that held it onto your face and a really cheap nylon costume that you put over your clothes. That was it. It was probably $5. You do that, you go around, you get your candy, and that's the end of it. That's what dressing up was for me. These elaborate costumes that adults feel like they have to go out and get, and they have to outdo each other, and they go to a party, and hey, look at my cool costume. I've got no interest in that, in large part because I have no interest in interacting with other humans. And let me give you an example why. I stay home and I don't go anywhere. Went to dinner last night, okay, with my wife.
Yep.
And as we were leaving, there were some people that I barely know. And the guy says to me, hey, you know what? You look a lot younger on TV. And he said to me, is that a compliment? And I said, I don't think it is a compliment. So for that reason alone, I stay home. No costume parties, no parties of any kind. I'll just stay in my cave. I'll drink my whiskey. I'll smoke a cigar. I'll eat some Werther's Originals, and I'll be miserable and happy in my misery.
Well, that's funny. He said you look younger on TV and then asked you if that was a compliment. So he wasn't sure. He wasn't totally trying to be mean, at least, and nonetheless. But you know,
look a lot younger on TV.
Yeah, well, you do.
Is that a compliment?
You do. Yeah, your wrinkles show up in person. You look kind of old when I see you in person, too. So I get the guy saying that completely. Nice.
Go fuck yourself.
Yes, I will. You're getting me a chastity belt. I can't fuck myself
all right,
anymore,
just stop.
Okay?
All right. Stop.
All right, let's get into it. Here we go. We had a good week, okay? And please rate, review, PFTPM, Chris Sims Unbutton. Mike does a great job of interacting with questions from his fans. I need to do a better job. We're doing full week 9 picks against the spread. We had a good week last week. Florio was en fuego. He was so hot. I want to touch the hiney. Okay, he was 14-1 straight up. I was 13-2 nipping at his heels. Can we change that fucking picture of me, please? Do we not have other pictures in our stuff besides what Florio calls evil Roger Goodell picture? Okay, Florio, 11-4. 11-4 versus the spread. I was 9-6. Best bets. We're on a heater for all you degenerates out there right now. We're on a heater. I'm 8-1 the last 3 weeks. The last 2 weeks alone, you're 6-0 on best bets, okay? So we're looking good there. And then let's see. For the season, you see it straight up. I got you beat. Best bets, I got you beat. Versus the spread,
whoa,
got me beat.
Oh, yeah. You leave the most important one for last.
Now, that's not important.
The total against the spread.
The total versus the spread does not matter. It does not matter in this, okay?
You beat me by one game. You're kicking my ass. You beat me
winning.
By one game.
Winning! I got tiger blood running through my veins. Tiger blood. I'm up by one game.
And anytime you say we're on a heater, I think you're talking about like those things you smoke on Friday and Saturday nights.
Those are
called
daddy
heaters?
Daddy cigars, okay?
All right.
Daddy cigars, all right? And I'm working this week, so no daddy cigars for me, all right? All right, let's get to it. I don't think I have to hit anything else here. I think I've hosted properly to this point. I don't think I've messed it up. All right, Thursday night.
Just saying that means you're not hosting properly.
Well, probably not. I'm an amateur.
There's a difference between being self-aware and being ridiculously obsessive to the point where you pause the proceedings to check to see what you're basically checking to see whether your armpits smell.
Well, yeah, I got a little rundown in front of me, and I just want to make sure I haven't fucked things up within the first 5 minutes of the podcast.
Right,
all right, and it's only been one or two things I've messed up. Not until now. Did I mess it up.
Everything was fine until the last 2 minutes.
All right. Thursday night football, 49ers, you and I agree. Right there, nipping at the heels for the best team in football with the New England Patriots, the Cardinals, the Kyler Murray show. Been impressed with what I've seen from Cliff Kingsbury. I do think he is more than just like, hey, wow, this is Chip Kelly, and I do what I did at Oregon, and I'm going to keep doing it here in the NFL, or Steve Spurrier, or this is what I did at Florida, and I'm not going to change one thing. Cliff Kingsbury is doing what smart people do. He's adapting to the game, and he's realizing he's got to make change, and he's self-scouting himself. So I give him a lot of credit there. 49ers favored by 10.5 on the road at the Cardinals, over under 42.5. Mike, lead it off. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I really like Thursday night football. We've gone through this discussion of whether or not it fits with the concept of player health and safety, and that was never an issue when there were Thanksgiving games and that was the only Thursday night. Although there used to be that Thursday night game that was played to avoid the World Series. And I remember when I was a kid, there would be a Monday night that they avoided because that conflicted the way they used to do the World Series schedule. They would avoid and abandon Monday Night Football and play a game on a Thursday night. And that was always a big deal. And for me, because on Sundays it's so hard for us to take in the games because they're all happening at once, I like being able to watch one game at a time.
I want
to study the 49ers. I want to see what the Cardinals look like on the field against one of the best teams in the NFL because they played one of the best teams in the NFL on Sunday, and even though the final score was 31-9, they were in it.
Yes,
I want to see what this team looks like on both sides of the ball. I want to see if Chandler Jones can create some havoc against the San Francisco offense. I want to see if they can slow down the running game. I want to see what Kyler Murray looks like going against one of the best defenses in football. Now, look, I believe that the 49ers ultimately will win the game. They may win it going away. But I'm anxious to see how these two teams look against each other. And the 49ers have lost to the Cardinals 8 straight times.
That's crazy. You said that to me earlier today, and I did not realize that. I realized, like, Shanahan's gone 0-4 against them, but 8 straight times, that was astounding.
But things are very different now, right? This is the best 49ers team since 2012.
Yep.
And this Cardinals team is still trying to find its way. And I also think that your friend Kyle Shanahan has an appreciation of what it means to play in primetime, what it means to put your best foot forward when people are still doubting you. And that's the thing the 49ers are benefiting from.
Right.
Even though they look so good on both sides of the ball, there still is this lingering sense of, you got to prove it to us. Bruce Irvin, the Panthers pass rusher, said after the 51-13 win by San Francisco over Carolina on Sunday, they're okay. They're not world beaters. There's this hesitation to give the 49ers their due, and I think that makes it even more likely that they're gonna take their due on Thursday night when they play one of the worst teams left on their schedule.
And what's your score? Give me your damn score, Florio.
All right, here's my damn score, Sims. 34-17, 49ers over the Cardinals.
Yep, okay. Good by you. Your thoughts, I'm not going to disagree with anything you said. Of course, I think you're spot on. You know, the other thing, too, where you talk about Shanahan's appreciation for primetime football, all that. I mean, when I hear, like, you know, Kyle sleeping at the facility and has a couch, you know, in his office and things like that, you know, those are just little things. And I haven't talked to Kyle in a long time where I want to go, man, Kyle's going next level right now. I think he realizes the bigger picture about it's more than just competing with the Arizona Cardinals. I think he's realizing the bigger picture about it. It's about competing with the old grouchy man up in the Northeast next to the city of Boston in New England, where he knows he's got to keep his team on the straight and narrow on a week-to-week basis and stay on every detail if he wants to beat them and defeat them in the Super Bowl. 49ers are a phenomenal football team. You know, I really think if it weren't for the pedigree, I would say they're the best team in the sport. The Cardinals' defense, not good. They're going to have big-time trouble stopping this 49ers run game. I think it starts there, and then they're going to have have some issues as far as stopping that, and I think it'll make them vulnerable in the back end for some big pass plays too. I think you know, Kyler Murray makes a few plays here and there, but my score is very similar. But I'm going 49ers 34-13. You know, I could kind of see it being, you know, 17-7, 20-10. But then somewhere around there, the game kind of gets blown open where it goes 27-10 or whatever it may be around there, and the Cardinals get a late field goal. But we both see it the same way. Clearly, the 49ers, we think, are going to dominate this football game. You got anything else?
I feel like I'm giving the Cardinals too much credit offensively to give them 17 points when you consider the last four opponents of the 49ers combined have scored 23. But I'll stick with 34-17.
Yeah, it's insane. I mean, that was another thing you did on the show today when you brought up all the, you know, the 49ers, since their bye week, nobody's thrown for more than 100 yards in a game yet. And that's team passing because sacks get taken away from that. But that's still, it doesn't matter what it is. That's unreal. All right. You know where we're going, baby. You sound like you're from London. Texans, Jaguars. It's Wanker Bowl 37 in London. I don't know how many games we've had in London, but either way, these two wankers of a team, which are actually pretty good football teams, and the London people in England should be very pleased with the matchup they're getting.
It's the closest they've come to giving the folks in London a game between two teams with winning records.
Yes.
It still hasn't happened, but 5-3 versus 4-4, that's a hell of a lot better than the Cincinnati wankers from last week.
No doubt about it. They are wankers, that team, for sure. And yeah, these two teams, as we know, they're in the thick of things as far as the AFC playoff picture. And the Jaguars certainly aren't out of it. They found their groove lately. Texans favored by one at the Jaguars, which is London, over under 46. Which London stadium is it being played at, guys? Do you guys know?
I think it's Wembley.
It is Wembley?
I don't know, but I think it's Wembley.
Okay, so go ahead, Slugger. What do you want to where do you want to start in that one?
I kind of like the Wanker Bowl. I kind of like calling it Wanker Bowl.
Let's do it. For the podcast purposes, let's call it the Wanker Bowl every time they're in London.
Wanker Bowl 28.
Yes. Wanker Bowl 28.
At Wembley. Yep. Wanker Bowl at Wembley. Yeah. I like the Texans in this game because of Deshaun Watson, even with the swollen eye that kept him from showing up last night at Game 7 of the World Series to do the play ball thing. I didn't even know that was a thing. You got the first pitch, and you have the person who says play ball.
Play ball! Right?
I didn't know that. Like that's a thing? I guess it is. Deshaun Watson couldn't do that because of his swollen eye, but he did fully participate in practice. He had like 18 guys on the injury report yesterday. DeAndre Hopkins limited with a thumb injury as well. But I believe in the Texans. Look, the Jaguars aren't as bad as they were a couple of weeks ago. They went from 2-4 to 4-4. But Deshaun Watson's operating on a higher level, and I think the Texans understand that they can't lose these divisional games if they hope to win the division. Because if they lose this one, they fall to 5-4, and the Jaguars climb to 5-4, obviously. And that makes it harder and harder for them to keep pace with the Colts. So Jaguars lose 27-23 to the Houston Texans. That's my pick. And it's all driven by my faith in Deshaun Watson making something happen, even with one eye swollen.
Yeah, I mean, that is really a lot of ways how I look at the Texans, too. I mean, they're one of the few teams I really evaluate. Only, you know, one of the factors I take into is Deshaun Watson. You know, just his ability, yes, overcome schemes and things like that very often. This is a tough game to pick, in my opinion. It really is. This Texans defense, you know, I now know J.J. Watt. You talked about they're kind of a banged-up football team. It worries me. I think the Jaguars have kind of found their stride on the offensive side of the ball, certainly been running the ball well. You know, with no J.J. Watt, you know, the Texans are going to hurt with their run defense in general. I worry about that Texans pass defense, and I know you've heard me say that. I've been saying this for the last few weeks. And Minshew and some of the weapons they got down there, you know, DJ Shark, hey, he's a superstar in the making. Him with Dee and everything there. And then, you know, the Jaguars – I give them another advantage in this aspect where I go, yeah, they're, you know, to what Doug Marrone said, they're used to this London trip. They're a little more prepared. I do give them a little bit of a, you know, favorite just because of that and their experience with this trip altogether. And to your Deshaun Watson point and factor, which I always take in just like you, I don't know if this is one of the teams he can, like, take over against. They do have great front seven speed. They might be able to make life hard against him. And this is one of the toughest games of the week for me to pick, okay? I'm going with the upset here. I'm going Jaguars, 20-17. I was really back and forth between this game. I don't know, but ultimately what gave me the last thought is just the Jaguars, the Jaguars experience on the trip. Like I said, the field plays a little slow at times over there in England, okay? And I feel like that hurts Deshaun Watson and his ability to scramble and do things like that. And I'm worried about the Texans with no J.J. Watt now. There's no superstar on that defense that you worry about, and I'm going with the Jags to make things really interesting in the AFC and certainly make life interesting for the Texans in general.
Jaguars coach Doug Marrone on the issue of playing in London said this yesterday. It's awful. You get discombobulated. You don't know what's up and what's down. It's daylight, nighttime. It's brutal. I'm glad I've done it before. I've got this secret I don't tell anyone, and we work on it as coaches, but I think it's awful for people who haven't done it before. You feel bad. You want to throw up. You have diarrhea. There's a lot of things bad that go on. That's Doug Marrone. So the Texans are going to have to fight through diarrhea. I remember last year there was that weird incident where the Jaguars players went out and allegedly skipped out on a giant bill at a club. And that was the first real
inkling, right?
Where we were like, yeah. like whatever happened to the Tom Coughlin, Doug Marrone discipline that was instilled in this team? So it'll be interesting to see whether or not they get it back this year and whether or not they can handle the Houston Texans. I just believe in the Texans. This is more of a Deshaun Watson respect game. And if they lose, I'm not going to feel bad about it because this one really, really did feel like a coin flip.
I get it. This will not be one of my best bets. I can say that much. To me, it is a little coin flip-ish right there. And I totally understand your Deshaun Watson point. Okay, let's go back to the United States of America. 1 o'clock games. Redskins, Bills, up in Buffalo.
You know, it is the United States of America. We're not Ukraine.
What did I say?
You said back to United States of America.
Oh, okay. Back to
the United States.
Back to USA. Okay, here we go.
All right.
Redskins, Bills. Bills coming off the loss against the Eagles, 31-13. They lost. Game was closer than that score shows. Bills favored by 9.5 at home, over and under 37. So the experts aren't expecting a real tight football game here. Go ahead, Mike, lead it off.
Lowest over under of the year for the Bills in Washington. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And you know, for good reason. I don't expect Washington to score many points. Dwayne Haskins may end up being the starting quarterback. Case Keenum is still in the concussion protocol. The Bills, they're going to be smarting a little bit after what happened last week. And I think Sean McDermott, the head coach of the team, probably upped their asses a little bit in the aftermath of how they got manhandled and bullied by Philadelphia. So I think the Bills
better
will be
wear that
fine.
Chastity belt, you know, if he's up their ass. That it would help for if you could send them one too then.
They got the throwback uniforms on. They peel off the new age logo. They put the old standing still Buffalo on there. The Bills need to get their act back together, and I think they will against a bad Washington team that only lost by 10 points to the Vikings last Thursday night. But if it's Dwayne Haskins the whole game, it may not be pretty. I like the Bills in this one, 24-14. So I've barely got the over, barely.
Yeah.
But I think the Bills win the game, and I think the Bills cover the spread. 9.5-point spread. I think they cover it by a half point, 24-14.
Yeah, I know. And we don't know. We know Dwayne Haskins might start, right? There's nothing there. I just want to make sure I didn't miss any news this morning.
Case Keenum is the guy.
Right.
As long as he's cleared, he hasn't been cleared, so we won't know until we get closer to Sunday. But either way, I like the Bills in this one.
Yeah, no, I'm with you either way. I don't think my thought would change. Maybe if I knew it was Dwayne Haskins, maybe I'd give the Redskins a little less points. I'll say that. Now, what we saw, extra time by the Redskins. Yep, we got all that, of course. We saw the Redskins defense, you know, again. You know, and I know you and I have both kind of said this. They're no joke. They're not like a pushover. They're well coached. They're front four. It's good. I mean, it's got some depth, some versatility. It's talent, especially the starters, when you get to the Alabama duo and then some of the guys they got on the edge. So I think they can hang around and be a pain in the ass for the Bills' offense for a little while. Ultimately, I don't think the Redskins' offense is going to be able to do enough either. My score very similar. You know, I think the Bills kind of just grind it out and kind of slowly put the Redskins out of their misery in this football game. I'm going 24-13. I do look at the Bills to bounce back. Josh Allen, you know, had the fumble last week, did some good things. You know, I still believe in the Bills. I'm certainly not giving up on them by any stretch of the imagination. You know, the weather and the elements last week were a big deal up in Buffalo in that game. Like I said, it was closer than 31-13. But either way, I like the Bills to get back on track with this game and, yes, win by 11. And I would hit the over-under directly and barely, but Bills covering just like you. All right, you got anything more to say before we move into the next one?
No, I think that, I'm fine. I'm not, you always want me to try to change my mind. I'm not changing my mind. I'm sticking with the Bills by 10.
Yeah, no, I don't want you to change your mind. I just want you to know if there was something else you thought about.
You want me to change my mind.
I hope so. I mean, I hope. I'm in your fucking head, okay? I'm like a goblin.
Yeah, I was 14-1
last week. I'm like the Patriots defense, and you're Sam Darnold. What's up, Sammy D? Woo!
I ain't seen any ghosts, man. I'm going to ride this. I'm on a heater, as you would say.
Yes, heater, baby. All right, Titans, Panthers. Panthers got their ass whooped by the 49ers. 49ers shoved that gold thing they dig for gold with right up their ass, all right? Titans.
That gold thing they dig for gold.
You know, what is that, a pitchfork? Is that what they use? It's not a gold thing.
Not a pitchfork.
Yeah, pitchfork. Yeah, known as a pitchfork. Yes. So Titans coming off their victory last week against the Buccaneers. On the road at the Panthers. Panthers favored by 3.5, over under 41. What say you, Michael James Florio?
This is one of those games where I think X's and O's factor into it. The Titans stole one. So, like you always say, when a team wins a game that maybe they should have lost, they feel like they're operating on house money a little bit, right?
Right.
The other side of the coin, I think the Panthers are going to feel a little demoralized after what occurred. The bubble has burst. They had the 4 straight wins, and you have to process in a compressed period of time the reality that what's waiting for us if we get to the playoffs inevitably is getting our asses kicked again by the 49ers. And I think that's a tough thing to process in a week. And we saw last year what happened to the Panthers when they were 6-2 and they got the shit beat out of them by the Steelers on a Thursday night. They fell apart after that. And I think they're not that they're going to get blown out by the Titans, but I think the Titans are going to win. I mean, the Panthers are going to have a hard time rebuilding after what happened to them against the 49ers. And I think the Titans can roll in. The Panthers can get rolled up 23-16, even with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. This is one of those games where, and the Titans have broken that mold a little bit where they're supposed to win, they lose. They're supposed to lose, they win. They're a slim underdog in this one. 3.5 points. I think the Titans win it straight up 23-16.
Man, we hang out too much. Okay, we do. I'm picking the Titans 20-16. So I'm you're giving them an extra field goal, but I'm with a lot of the same thoughts. All right, so the first thing I think that needs to be recognized, the Titans defense, they got it going right now. I mean, they're no joke. I mean, when you just look at the way they've played, you know, really since the Falcons game, letting up 10 points, Bills 14 points, Broncos 16 points, Chargers 20 points. Buccaneers 23, and the Buccaneers, they're a dangerous offense. You know, I look at that secondary, okay, the way they're coached with Dean Pease, they can match up, play man-to-man, do creative things there. I think that's advantage Titans to where, yeah, they can, like, load the box a little bit to stop Christian McCaffrey in the run game. I don't think the Panthers' offense is all that complicated right now with what they're doing. I go, that's advantage Tennessee Titans and Dean Pease and Mike Vrabel. On the other side of the ball, I do think the Panthers, you're going to see their best foot forward type of effort versus the Titans. But again, I like it. I've liked what I've seen from Ryan Tannehill. I mean, there's no arguing that they're a better offense with him at quarterback. I don't think that's in dispute at this point. And I feel like I'm seeing glimmers of the run game come about a little bit. So I think this is an ugly football game. I mean, really, I could see the Panthers up 16-13 late, the Titans scoring a late touchdown, and then stopping the Panthers on a late 2-minute drive from scoring a touchdown, something like that. But Yeah, there's just something about the matchup where I think the Titans have a little bit of the advantage X's and O's wise, and I just think they match up with the players wise as well on the field to where I'm picking them to pull the upset on the road just like you, except I'm just going one field goal less.
And think of how this could all play out. If the Titans do win and move to 5-4, if the Jaguars would beat the Texans, you have 3 5-4 teams in the AFC South, and then you'd either have the Colts at 6-2 or 5-3. Unbelievable to think about where this division is heading as this scrum continues.
It's amazing.
But I do like the Titans in this. You know, we were very impressed with what they did week one, winning by 30 in Cleveland. Then they kind of fell off. And just like the Jaguars, they've gone from 2-4 to 4-4, just quietly piling up the wins. And I like them to pick this one up on Sunday and move to 5-4. And move, you know, Ryan Tannehill, maybe the starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans in 2020, if he can continue to play like he has and help the team win. Not that he's having great numbers, but he's consistent, something that Marcus Mariota hasn't been.
Yeah, he's consistent and just makes a few throws every game just to where, like, oh, it's 3rd and 10, and they need someone to really, like, pull the trigger and throw the ball in the tight window, gets it done. I mean, hey, some of the touchdown passes he had last week, okay? I mean, those are things, again, some of them were easy, but, you know, they're not necessarily always seem that easy when Marcus Mariota was in the lineup. That's all I'll say there. So I like what he's brought. Now, Vikings-Chiefs. So under the radar, one of the best games of the day. I mean, I think we would really love it if number 15 was playing a quarterback. I don't think we're going to see him this week. I think we go – I mean, if I'm the Chiefs, I wait at least one more week before I throw him back out into the fray. Minnesota on fire. Your squad, as we know, are going to the Chiefs. Okay, the tomahawk chop. Vikings, 2.5-point favorites, over under 48.5. I had a tough one here. I think this is going to be close. I'm just going to say that, but the floor is yours, sir.
I like how you only blew the horn once because you're afraid Bullwinkle's going to come crashing into the studio.
I figured
he
was coming out any second, really. I just figured it, right? Now they're trying to figure out putting Bullwinkle's chastity belt on me now because you went there. So that's what they're trying to do.
I've seen this movie many times before. Now, I would feel more confident about prognosticating this one if I knew who actually was going to be the quarterback. Patrick Mahomes, I don't think it's close. Matt Moore, I think it's closer. I think this is a spot where the Vikings' magical run, Kirk Cousins, offensive player of the month in the NFC, it comes to an end because they're going to blitz him like crazy. He doesn't have the mobility to escape the pocket when the walls close in, and once the pocket collapses, he's going to be done. Or he's going to throw the ball too early, and somebody's going to jump around like Tyrann Mathieu and take it to the house. And I think that element is going to keep the Vikings offense from scoring enough points, regardless of who the quarterback is for the Kansas City Chiefs. I like the Chiefs to win this one 24-20. Not real high scoring, but enough points for the Chiefs and the Andy Reid offense, regardless of who's a quarterback. And I'm kind of operating under the assumption it's going to be Matt Moore. But even then, I like the Chiefs to win straight up with the points. And it pains me to say it. And I said earlier this week that if this is going to be a special season for the Vikings, they need to win the next two. They need to beat the Chiefs in Kansas City and the Cowboys in Dallas. Lose those two games or split those two games, and they're going to be in that scrum for the 5 seed or the 6 seed, which means if you get into the playoffs, you're going to go on the road to Lambeau Field or to Dallas in the wild card round. You're going to lose there, and your season's going to be over. So to separate from just treading water versus having a really great season and a chance to contend deep into January, these are the games. These are November playoff games for the Vikings, and we'll see what they can do, starting with the Chiefs. I don't think they'll win, though. I think it's going to be Kansas City.
Dr. Doom strikes once again on his team.
I'm being realistic. I mean, think about this. Do we...
Have you picked against the Vikings for how many weeks in a row now? I mean, did you pick... You picked them to win last week, I think, right?
I picked them to beat Washington. Oh, yeah. I picked them to beat Philadelphia, although I can't remember. I know I picked them to beat the Giants. I did pick them to beat Philadelphia.
Okay, you did.
But I picked them to lose to the Lions. So I had to wear that Kirk Cousins thing last week. But, I just... They have to prove it to me. And I'll gladly be wrong. Prove me wrong, Kirk Cousins. But I really do think, Chris, your efforts to persuade the Chiefs defense. Steve Spagnuolo must be watching the show on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday morning because they started blitzing. And it makes sense. It fits with their offense. I just don't think that Kirk Cousins will be able to process information quickly enough to take advantage of the gaps that will be in the defense when the Chiefs blitz. So 24-20, Chiefs win.
Yeah, listen, it's an interesting matchup. It really is. To what we're talking about, I really do like what I've seen from the Chiefs on that side of the ball lately. You know, you heard me say last week, yeah, I mean, the only reason they lost that game was because 12 was that quarterback and that LeSean McCoy fumble. They've been all over, though, a lot of, like, the concepts I saw the Packers run. You know, they just couldn't overcome number 12, which is scary because, yeah, I don't expect number 8 on the wearing purple or white and purple on Sunday to be able to make some of those plays that we saw Watson make or an Aaron Rodgers make against this defense. That's where it is different. So I like everything about that. But the only thing I'll say that's a little different dynamic, of course, is the Vikings run game and who you got at tailback. That's what scares me a little bit more than maybe the last few weeks with the Chiefs, just because, yeah, okay, hey, you want a blitz. But damn, you get caught in like, ooh, we wanted to blitz off of this side, and the Vikings run to the other side. Ooh, baby, you'll be rolling the dice against this motherfucker Cook, okay? That's what I need to start calling him, because he's a motherfucker, all right? He's unreal. He's unreal. He is just he's got two rockets up his ass. Sometimes I think he might have two and a half.
I think he's got three.
He might have three. It is. It's special there. You know, the Vikings defense, of course, is good. We know that. They don't let people into the end zone a whole lot. I think that's an encouraging thing. You know, is Andy Reid going to run the ball on them enough? I mean, that's always a big question for me. You know, I don't think he will. So he'll be a little too much one-dimensional for Mike Zimmer. I went back and forth on this one. But I think this Vikings team is real. I think they are, and I think they're going to win an ugly, ugly football game in Kansas City, 19-17. And you know, so the Chiefs, I have the Chiefs covering, and I don't look at these spreads as you until after I make my picks. I didn't even look at them until I sat down here. But, yeah, I think the Vikings this year got the formula to just get enough points to win these types of game. And if Patrick Mahomes, just for all those that are betting out there, if Patrick Mahomes does play, okay, I'm just going to say that I would make the game probably 27-19 Chiefs, something like that. But for now, I'm going as he's not playing. I don't expect it to happen, and I'm going Vikings 19-17.
If he plays, get your bets in before the line moves because the line's going to move quickly in the direction of the Chiefs. And, you know, you're trying to thread the needle here.
I
respect it. And we've been using that phrase all year long, and I made the mistake last Friday when the Vikings won but didn't cover the 16-point spread. I made the mistake with Big Cat on the show of saying I threaded the needle and picked the Vikings to win but Washington to cover, and he busted my chops for saying that a 16-point spread, the losing team covering would be threading a needle. So it's not really threading a needle. You're threading a needle with a 2.5-point spread, picking the Chiefs to lose by two.
Yes, I am. I'm, and again, I didn't intend it to be this way. I liked what I saw from Matt Moore and company. I do think Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins pose some problems, of course, for that Vikings secondary. You know, I do think Zimmer gets a little predictable sometimes with his defensive calls, and that does worry me with Andy Reid and everything like that. But I just think this is a little bit of a different Vikings team this year, and I think Kirk Cousins is on a mission to shove it right up Michael James Florio's ass for the year, and I like what I've seen from him lately. All right, let's go to the next game. Jets, Dolphins, shit bowl, okay? If we got the Wanker Bowl in London, we got the South Florida shit bowl here, all right? I mean, who cares? Jeez, Jets, one win. Dolphins, zero wins. Jets look like crap in Florida last week against the Jaguars. Did not like the way Sam Darnold looked, too. I just want to add that because Sam Darnold's arm lacked pop in the game last week, which is a little scary to me. Dolphins, jeez. Kind of controlled the first half against the Steelers, right, Mike? Then they had that stupid all-out blitz when they were up 14-3. That might have been the dumbest fucking call I've seen all year. Full Tropic Thunder moment there by the Dolphins and their coaching staff. Jets are favored by 3 in Miami, over under 41. What do you think, Mike?
Well, look, it was a dumb call because it didn't work, right? I understand what they were trying to do. They're trying to rattle Mason Rudolph, who was moosing the headlights earlier in the game.
Yeah, okay.
And you know, I get the idea for trying it, but it didn't work. So, you know, they were wrong about Mason Rudolph. He stepped up and he made the throw. And again, we assume that the Dolphins are actually trying to win football games. The genius of it is you make those ridiculous calls at the worst possible time, and that lays the foundation to pick up your loss. So you look like you're not tanking, even though you really are tanking because you're making dumb calls in key moments of the game. The Jets are embattled right now. They've had a rough week. All the stuff with Jamal Adams and dangling Le'Veon Bell and the Coleccio simile, whatever in the hell that is,
yeah,
and
yikes.
Adam Gase, and then Joe Douglas talking to reporters, and they look, Gase is going to be extra determined to go back to Miami and beat the team that fired him, and yeah, he's been extra determined every week. He just can't get his guys to play hard. I think this week is the week that they do turn it around. This is a team that beat the Dallas Cowboys, and so there's something there that they can work with, and I think they can go into Miami and beat a Dolphins team that is slowly but surely getting demoralized. Short week, road game in Pittsburgh. I think that makes it even harder for Miami. I like the Jets 20-17 in this one. So I guess I'm right on the number since the Jets are 3-point favorites. But 20-17, Jets. Yeah, let me call it 21-17. I'll take the Jets to cover just so I don't want it to be a push on this. So Jets 21, Dolphins 17, Jets barely cover. And this is one of those that if it goes the other way, it won't shock me. But I just feel like the Jets have more reason to show everyone that they can get their act together and win a football game.
No person in their right mind should bet on this football game. Don't bet on stupid teams, bad teams that can, like, you know, screw up a wet dream. All right. Just don't do that. You know, you don't want to bet on a team that could screw up a wet dream. You know, right during climax, they wake up and they go, oh, and then they don't even get to it. So,
yeah, I'm aware of that. That's what those teams do.
They will screw up a wet dream. I mean, be a hot, you know, it just, you don't want to do it. So don't bet on this. Anybody out there with a brain. All right. Yeah, they got the point in the back room. They're telling me. So, all right. I'm with you there. I'm so glad everybody back there. I'm picking the push. Yeah, I don't care. I want it noted because I'm going to get a victory if the push is right. Right. So either way, I'm going Jets 27-24. Yeah, I just think basically the Jets are a little more talented, you know, have an offensive mind that has a little more of his crap together at this point than, you know, the Miami Dolphins. Chad O'Shea, he's still trying to learn his way as an offensive coordinator, and things are better. But there's not a lot of weapons or anything at his disposal either to get a lot better. I do look at it as kind of a get-back-on-track game for the Jets, but not going to be pretty. I think the Dolphins are a pain in their ass in this one. And I go Jets 27-24. They pull out the victory. Anything else you want to say about this, the wet dream battle?
Yeah, I
the shit bowl in South Florida?
That's better.
Okay.
That's better.
The shit bowl in South Florida. Okay.
It's amazing. And the Patriots, one of the reasons the Patriots have been so good over the last 20 years is they have this revolving door of shit teams beneath them in their same division. I don't want to take anything away from the Patriots, but when the Bills, the Dolphins, and the Jets cannot get out of their own way far more often than not, it makes it a lot easier to fatten up your record, get yourself in a position where you've got home field advantage throughout the playoffs, and force teams to come to you and beat them in January to get to the Super Bowl. It's perfect. If you can get yourself assigned to a horrible division, that's one of the key ingredients to developing a dynasty.
Yeah, that's certainly, you're right about that. We've seen a few dynasties through our, you know, through football where, yeah, one of the teams gets an easy division, and it certainly benefits them for being healthy and, like, ready to go playoff time, where other teams come in beat up and everything else because they've been through so many battles. All right. Dub Bears, Dub Eagles in Philly. Philly coming off the win in Buffalo. The Bears coming off, you know, their shit show against the Chargers. Eagles favored by 5, over under 42. Let's see. We got DeSean Jackson coming back, right? So anything else I'm missing? I don't think there's any other key injuries to this game. If not, Mike, just lead it off and tell us what you think.
Yeah, I think DeSean Jackson will be back. I don't know how effective he'll be. He may not be 100% at any point this year. That's something that Coach Doug Peterson mentioned a couple of weeks ago. But you know, even though the Eagles are 4-4 and the Bears are 3-4, it feels like these teams are moving in different directions. The Eagles have finally gotten kick-started. The Bears are just grasping for anything they can find, anything they can believe in, any way to turn this around. The defense has really fallen apart since the offense can't do anything. The team hasn't won a game since that dominant performance against the Vikings 4 weeks ago, and I think it's going to continue. Even though the Eagles, you know, all the reason for the Bears to get a little revenge on the Eagles for the double doink game, the Eagles at home taking on this Bears team 27-20, and it could be worse than that, but I like the Eagles to win. They've rediscovered their running game. If they get DeSean Jackson back and he can do even 90% of what he usually does, it's going to open up the passing game. It's going to put a lot of pressure on the Bears defense, and the Bears offense just can't get it done. We've seen that. And it's not like there's hope that they're just going to go back to the lab and come up with some great game plan. It just feels like they've lost their way and they have no idea how to get back on track.
Agreed there, totally. And you know, just I want to – Akeem Hicks, where are we at, guys? Can somebody, like, look that up, where he's at?
He's on injured reserve.
He is, for sure. Okay, I just wanted to make sure he wasn't popping back in the game this week either way. But I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, the records are closed, but it does seem like one team is going, you know, green arrow up and the other team's going red arrow down, certainly. Certainly. I thought the Eagles actually played their best game of the year last week up in Buffalo. Like you said, ran the football downhill. Eagles, Philadelphia, Doug Peterson, run the fucking ball downhill. Play to the strength of your team. The strength is all the big fuckers they have up front. That's when they were at their best in their Super Bowl run. It was a run-first team. And then it opened up all the Doug Peterson intermediate passing. And you're right, DeSean. Jackson being back is going to open up a lot of stuff. Off of that, the Eagles are getting healthy. Okay, I don't know. Last week, Mike, I've been banging on the table every week for the Eagles to get underneath the center and run downhill with Miles Sanders and Jordan Howard because they're downhill running backs. Stop this shotgun crap. Okay, I understand you can do it a little here and there. And I don't know if it was the weather last week in Buffalo that forced Philadelphia to do it or if Philadelphia legitimately just said, no, we're going to get underneath the center and run the ball. But to me, that's where they're missing out. Doug Peterson at times can just fall into this Andy Reid of, oh, shotgun throw, oh, shotgun throw, oh, shotgun throw. No, stop it. And the other thing is the Eagles' corners being healthy, having Jalen Mills back, having Ronald Darby back just absolutely changes their football team. And I have no faith in the Bears' offense. The Bears' defense, of course, is good. But if the Eagles will run the football, the Bears have shown, really, in other weeks other than the Chargers game, okay, because the Chargers offensive line would have a hard time blocking you and me, that you can run on the ball a little bit right now in Chicago. I mean, I never would have guessed it, and that's why I asked about Akeem Hicks, because I think it's showing a little bit with him not being around how good he is, one of the best interior D tackles in all of football. But the Raiders and the Saints, they ran the ball on that Chicago defense. And I think you'll see the same thing again from Philadelphia, or at least I'm hoping. I'm taking Eagles 24-14 at home, and I think they continue to trend on that upwards green arrow.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, they have a narrow margin for error. They've got bye week after this game. Then they have the Patriots and the Seahawks back-to-back weeks. So it's not going to be easy, but two straight wins going into the bye week, and then they make their run or they don't after that, Chris.
Yep, that's right. Okay, Colts, Steelers. Colts are looking like one of the best teams in the AFC, quietly. I mean, it's like we don't even talk about them that much. And then what are they, 5-2 or 6-2? Either way, they're
5-2.
5-2. They're balanced on offense. Their defense is solid. I think we both like Frank Reich. The Steelers, you know, they're coming off their win. We know their defense is good. I'm still very iffy about Mason Rudolph and the offense. The Colts are only favored by one. Over under 43. How do you see it playing out, Mike?
I think that, to use a crass phrase, we saw Mason Rudolph's nuts drop on Monday night.
Yeah.
You know, he was horrible early on. And the booing that was cascading down from the Heinz Field stands onto the field when it was 14-0, it really did seem to kick him in the ass. And they drove down, got a field goal. They had that big throw, the Deontay Johnson 45-yard touchdown on 3rd-and-20 with the all-out blitz. And I just feel like Mason Rudolph found something. And the Steelers find a way to fight through adversity, find a way to fight through injury, find a way to play well at home. And I still have this concern that the Colts play up and down to the level of the competition. They screwed around with the Broncos this past week. It took a 50-plus yard field goal to avoid a loss, and there were real concerns about whether or not Adam Vinatieri would nail it. I don't think that it's going to come down to an Adam Vinatieri field goal. I think that the Steelers will have this one won. Maybe they'll kick the late field goal to win it. I've got 27-24 Steelers. But, you know, I've learned the hard way about picking against the Steelers, although it looked like it would have been good to pick against them on Monday night, at least through the first quarter or so. I feel like they're moving in the right direction. And we've talked about this, I think. It's going to come down to those two games against the Browns 2 weeks apart. They got a Thursday night in 2 weeks against the Browns, and then two Sundays after that, the Browns again. If one of those two teams sweeps that series, that team is going to be alive and viable for a run at the playoffs. And I have a feeling it's going to be the Steelers. And I think that, you know, they continue to defy the odds by finding a way to beat a Colts team that is coming into Heinz Field. How often is it that someone comes into Heinz Field as a favorite? Not very often.
No.
And I think the Colts are going to go home the losers.
All right. What would you say? What was your score there?
27-24 Steelers.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I'm not going to be mad at you. Yeah. You know, hey, the Steelers defense is good. We know that. I mean, we've seen it. Now, the one area I would be a little bit worried about the Steelers defense this week is just that it's so much is predicated on their front seven and dominating games. Don't think they can dominate this group and, you know, the wall. I mean, there's a wall. It's the greatest wall you've ever seen. It's a big blue wall in Indianapolis. Big blue wall. Slots. Nice slots. Five of them. They're big, okay? It's tough to penetrate that wall, be the greatest wall you've ever seen. It's a damn good wall. I don't know if it's the greatest wall I've ever seen, but it's a good wall. And I think that slows down that Colts front set. I mean, the Steelers front seven. I mean, that Colts O-line, as we both know, is real. So I go there, advantage Colts. And I think a lot of this Steelers defense, I really do. I mean, it's a good group. But I do think the Colts are one of those teams that poses problems for them because of that offensive line, Frank Reich's game planning. You know, the Steelers are still not a team that wants to play man-to-man. Jacoby Brissett, you know, and the game planning together, I think, can lead to some maybe big plays in the pass game. Now, you know, the big thing on the other side, just flipping it around, the Colts defense is good. You know, it's not great. We understand that. You know, we're seeing the Pittsburgh run game pick up a little bit. Can they continue to do that? You know, this defense is certainly better than the Miami Dolphins. I think the Colts can slow down the run game because they're still, to me, I need to see a little more of that Pittsburgh pass game first. I mean, yes, you're right. Mason Rudolph's nuts dropped and it was certainly better and things like that. But I'm not going to say I'm sold on it quite yet. And because of that, I'm going to go with the Colts to win the football game in Pittsburgh 24-20. So you're basically giving the Steelers a late touchdown to win the game. And I'm saying the Colts are going to stop them on that drive. That's basically what we're going here. I'm saying the Colts are going to stop them on that drive. You're saying that Mason Rudolph's going to go in. And as I'm talking that out, I like what my pick is. You're going Mason Rudolph. I'm going with the 5-2 football team. But yes, I do think the Colts will win a close football game. I do. Yep. Up
well,
yours.
I disagree. Good. And I'll be right, and you won't be able to talk as much shit next week because I'll be ahead of you in the straight up competition.
We shall see. How many damn zip ups do you have? Is what I really want to know. I mean, you got a lot of zip ups.
This is the football night in America.
I like that one. I know you couldn't wear your Ravens one this week. That wouldn't look good for the Sunday night football game if you were wearing that one.
Well, I wore it last week.
I know. Well, I know, you know. But yeah, you got
I'm trying to wear a different one every week.
Yeah, you got a lot of them. That's what I asked you. How many do you got?
I don't know. I don't number them.
Give me an estimate.
I don't know. Somewhere between 7 and 10.
Okay, good. There we go. Is that fucking that hard to answer? Jeez Louise, Lions, Raiders. Let's move on.
Wait, should I be like you? Is this how you do your zip ups?
Yeah.
Like this all the way up? Is this how you do it?
Yeah, that's how you do it. You look good.
And then I can be unzipped?
Yeah. Why are you holding your shoulders up, though? I'm not like the the monster. I'm like Eddie Munster? Is that what I do? all right, I got a little something to read here. Our Line Starts podcast, our NHL personalities here at NBC. You know, the NBC Sports Network, we're all over the NHL. New podcast with all our analysts. Episode number 4 dropped on Wednesday, Mike, where Catherine Tapp Chapin, Keith Jones, and Patrick Sharp tell some hockey Halloween stories. We both know hockey players are fucking crazy. They are. And I'm sure there's some good stories here. It's probably worth the listen. These guys got great personalities, tons of stories. Pierre McGuire interviews Lightning GM Julien Brisebois. I think I said that right. Brisebois. See? Parlez-vous François? Brisebois? Okay. Download and subscribe, and you'll hear some behind-the-scenes stories like this one from Mike Milbury.
My job is to present what I see in my opinion and through my experience, and if that ruffles a feather, listen.
Well, you speak a lot of the times what a lot of people are thinking. I think a lot of people at home probably agree with you on many things. And you're also accountable. Like, you don't just say it and then turtle away and hide from everybody. I mean, I remember being on the set with you at NESN, and Aaron Ward came up for our postgame show, and you had said something critical about the players, not him, but other players in that locker room. And he came up and said, I was the only one who was going to be able to come up here and do this because no one wants to talk to you and be on set with you, Mike. And you grabbed a piece of my paper with a big Sharpie marker, and you wrote down your phone number, and you slammed it on the table, and you said, here, put that up in the locker room. If anybody has a problem, they can call me.
Man, my mofo right there. That's my kind of mofo, Mike Milbury. I mean, yeah, it's self-scouting myself, being accountable.
Let me just say this.
Yeah.
Go to YouTube.com and in the search box, put Mike Milbury shoe and enjoy what you see on the back end, because you'll get instantly highlights of 1979, December 23. The 40th anniversary is coming up in less than 2 months. Mike Milbury climbing over the glass into the stands or whatever they did, however they get up there. Yeah, over the glass, right? There's glass behind the bench, and beating a fan with his own shoe.
I love it.
So,
yeah. Well, yeah, that's the kind of guy he is. And, yeah, he does keep it real. And, of course, I think we both appreciate anybody who gives honesty and true analysis and not worried about, oh, I'm friends with this guy and I can't say it, so I'm going to bullshit around what I think about their team because I'm friends with them and give a false opinion and make myself look fucking stupid because I'm friends with them. That's not what either one of us are paid to do. No, the big thing is, though, what would happen if we gave your phone number into NFL locker rooms? Oh, my gosh. I'd have to hire security, I think, to protect you. I think they'd line up to whoop your ass if we gave the.
Yeah, but why would it? They have my phone number. How are they going to kick my ass through the phone? That makes no sense.
Well, yeah, you're right. I guess they're not. But they're going to call you and want to kick your ass.
You give them my address, that'd be a different idea. Listen, I can take it. If somebody's upset with me, they know how to find me. I'm very easy to find. I've had coaches, good, bad, and otherwise, call me up and yell and scream at me, and I'll take it and I move on. And, you know, I understand that they get upset, but we have a job to do just like they have a job to do. And if they got a problem with it, it's their problem.
Yeah, I get you. All right, here we go. 4 o'clock games. Let's move on. I think Mike Zimmer one day might whoop your ass, just to let you know. All right, 4 p.m. games. Lions, Raiders, Patricia, Gruden. Raiders coming off two tough losses. You know, two games where, you know, they were in the balance for a long time. And last week they got Deshaun Watson. The week before they got Aaron Rodgers. Lions coming off a good win against the New York Giants. Giants hung around, though. They made it a game, certainly. You know, at the road, in the Coliseum, the Raiders are finally home. They're favored by 2, over under 50.5. What do you see happening, Mike?
I don't know how I feel about this one.
Yeah, it's a tough
Lions,
one.
The Lions had 3 straight losses in games they could have won, but there's a reason why they lose those games. There's still that cultural issue that Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn, the coach and GM respectively, are trying to iron out of the facility. I think the Raiders, coming into the home stretch of their time in Oakland, being gone for that many weeks, I think John Gruden is going to play that card with them aggressively. I think that's one of the reasons why he's been complaining about the schedule that has kept them away from home. He wants to get these guys to embrace the fact that they're finally back home after all these weeks on the road. And I probably haven't picked the Raiders to win a game all year. I'm picking the Raiders to win this one. This is a gut feel type of a game for me. And I think that the Raiders will, you know, the last 2 weeks they could have won. They could have beaten the Packers. They could have beaten the Texans. And I think they'll muster enough to build a lead and hold a lead. Derek Carr played well last week, surprisingly well, a week after he did that stupid thing, reaching the football into the end zone and dropping it in for a safety. So I think that I think they're just going to find a way. Josh Jacobs, find a way. Derek Carr, find a way. John Gruden, find a way. And they'll win one of their final games before they move to Las Vegas.
Yeah, it is an interesting matchup. You know, I do think Matt Stafford and their offense will be able to make some plays on that Oakland Raiders defense. You know, like we've said the last 2 weeks where Watson and Rodgers got the best of them. You know, we see that because there's not great talent on that Raiders defense, that great quarterbacks can overcome maybe scheme flaws or the Raiders dialing up the right defense in certain situations and really schematically being all over a play, but Rodgers or Watson can make that play. Matthew Stafford, I think, will be able to do the same thing. Now, he's not Deshaun Watson or Aaron Rodgers, so I don't think he'll be able to do it quite as much. Ultimately, though, I'm going with the Raiders to win this game because I think they're tough. I think they're a little tougher than the Detroit Lions right now. That's the one thing I'll say about the Raiders. They're tough. They want to get in your face, and they will do that on the offensive side of the ball. And we've seen the Raiders can run the football, and the Detroit Lions can't run the football. They can't. I mean, they can't stop the run. Excuse me. That's what I meant to say. So the Raiders can run it. The Detroit Lions can't. The Lions' defense in general is pretty damn crappy. And I think it's going to lead to enough big plays for the Raiders' offense to where, yeah, okay, Matt Stafford and company are going to make some big plays. But I think Derek Carr and Josh Jacobs and Darren Waller and Tyrell Williams will make more. I think this will be a fun, exciting game. I would expect the over to hit in this for sure. And I'm taking the Raiders to win 31-28, win a game at home in the Coliseum, but a fun game nonetheless. I like the Raiders.
Yeah, I did not give a score. Did I give a score? I think I picked, is it? I've got 24-17 Raiders.
24-17. All right, Buccaneers, Seahawks. Here we go. The Yuccaneers at the Seahawks. Seahawks. You know, we know they're a really good team. How good are they, I guess, is what we got to just figure out. I mean, we know they're one of the better teams in the NFC. They're not in the class, I don't think, of the, you know, of the Saints, certainly. I don't know if they're in the class of the Packers either, but they're right there on that fringe. I don't know what to think of them totally, okay? The Buccaneers, dangerous football team. We know their offense can make some plays. They lost a tough one last week against the Tennessee Titans, put themselves in a 14-0 hole or 14-3 hole early because they screwed up and had turnovers. The center snapped the ball off of Jameis Winston's face. I believe Jameis Winston threw an interception early. So they were down 14-3, you know, before the game even got going because of that. What do you think, Mike? What do you got here?
Well, I'll tell you what, anytime the Buccaneers and the Seahawks get together, it reminds me of being in a dentist's office in the 70s and flipping through a magazine. I don't even remember what the magazine was, Sports Illustrated or some other sports magazine. And I saw an article about these two new teams that would be joining the NFL, and I was unaware of it. And they had the helmet of the Bucco Bruce with all the pastel colors and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Seattle Seahawks. I didn't even know where Seattle was at the time. Those were the two new teams because all I knew for the NFL, 26 teams, and that was the way it was always going to be. So it's always special when these two teams get together. And I also like that it's Pete Carroll and Bruce Arians because they were together in the same division for a while. And, you know, this is one of those games where I think that Pete Carroll looks for a way to stick it to Bruce Arians for all the chatter that came from Bruce Arians when he was finding ways to be successful against the Seahawks in the latter years of his time with the Cardinals. I think the Seahawks are the better team. I think I count on Jameis Winston making one of those what the hell was that type of a plays. You know, at a 5.5-point spread, that's one to me. You're just begging me to take the Seahawks in that one. 28-16, Seattle over Tampa Bay. I don't have faith in Jameis Winston. I have plenty of faith in Seattle, especially after they've lost a couple of games at home this year. They're going to be guarding against that, and they're going to guard against it with even more zeal when you've got Bruce Arians coming back to town because Pete Carroll's going to take this one personally. Even though he'd never say it, he's going to take it personally.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I mean, I think Bruce's attitude in some of those years is going to make the Seattle want to stick it up his ass. I totally agree with you there. And, you know, Seattle, like to what we always talk about, you know, kind of fell asleep at the wheel in the second half of the Falcons game last week, where they didn't really play good football on either side, but still won because they had built up such a big cushion by going up 24-0. But, you know, I think that's enough of the way they played to kind of like put the poker back on their butt to go, like, we can't do that again. Now, I do think the Bucs pose some very interesting issues for this Seahawks football team. I do. You know, one, you know, let's not forget the Buccaneers front on defense. It is good. You know, they can maybe slow down that run game for the Seahawks a little bit. You know, they could also, you know, corral a Russell Wilson. And, you know, I just want to double check because, I mean, the Buccaneers run defense is number one in football. I knew it was top five, but I did not know off the top of my head. It's number one in football, and it's number one by a lot.
Because you can throw on them all day.
But that's exactly right. That's exactly right. You can throw the ball, and that is part of the reason why they're the number one run defense, because teams go, well, why would I want to run it at Sue and Vitavia when I can throw it against a bunch of guys I don't know their names of, all right? And then they do have Shaquille Barrett and JPP's back and all that, so I think they can kind of corral Russell Wilson at times. But to your point, the Buccaneers defense, I don't trust it in the pass game. I think Russell Wilson will be able to strike, but I do think Jameis Winston will strike too. I think they'll be able to protect him, and I think they'll be able to throw what I look at as a very below average pass defense in Seattle. And I just want to pull that up too, just to make sure I say this for people out there, just to look exactly where they are. Their pass defense right now, the Seattle Seahawks, they are 27th in football, 273 yards per game. You know, that's not Seattle football. I'm going Seahawks. Of course, they're at home. It's Russell Wilson. But I think this is a high-scoring affair. I do. And I'm going to go Seahawks 34-27 in this one. So there again, I'm almost saying I like the over a lot. And, of course, I am taking the Seahawks to cover the spread.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about the over-under. I just know that I like the Seahawks in this one. Last week, they were a little sluggish against the Falcons, although they covered a 5.5-point spread.
Yep.
I was surprised it was only 5.5 points last week against the Falcons. I'm surprised it's only 5.5 points against a Buccaneers team that is 2-5.
All right, so Browns, Mayfield, mouthing off to Tony Grossi, going to the Broncos, no Joe Flacco. We got Browns favored by 3. We know it's tough to play in Denver. We know that Denver defense is tough. What do you think is going to happen, Mike?
Yeah, you know, I really want to pick the Broncos in this one because I could see it happening. I can envision the Broncos winning the game. I just don't know enough about Brandon Allen, and I've yet to see him play in a setting, especially against a defense like Cleveland's. Cleveland's defense continues to be underrated. It's the offense that's the problem this year, and the more the offense struggles, the more pressure it puts on the defense. But I think the defense will carry the day for Cleveland on Sunday. And I've got 20-10 Browns. I don't know that I feel that strongly about it. Maybe 20-13. The Browns are 3-point favorites. I think the Browns cover. I'm a little torn on this one. And this is one of those where I feel like if I get cute and take the Broncos, the Browns will win big. If I'm taking the Browns and the Broncos win, I'm fine with that. Because I said, you know, I kind of saw it coming, but I wasn't ready to go there. So this just is kind of like the safer pick for me. Browns to win. I'll stick with that. Let's go 20-13 Browns. And, again, we'll see, because this is an opportunity for Brandon Allen to come out and prove me and a lot of other people wrong, and maybe he'll be motivated by that.
Yeah, maybe, but I don't think he's good enough to really prove us wrong. So I can't do it either. And oddly enough, I'm going to pick the Browns as well to win the game 20-13. Still a pain in the ass, this Denver Broncos defense. We know that. You can run the ball a little bit on the Cleveland Browns, but I don't think – you know, with Brandon Allen being a quarterback and the Broncos run game that's solid but not great, I don't think they'll be able to expose that enough. And, you know, again, the Browns outplayed the Seahawks. And in the Browns versus the Patriots too, you know, I'm going to say this. If I got to grade all the plays of the game, I would bet you Cleveland won more plays than the Patriots. They were not outclassed by, like, the players on the field. The problem is with the Browns right now, and this went with the Seahawks game, the Patriots game. You know, you can even go to the Rams game or the Titans game, any of their losses. when they make a mistake, they don't just make a mistake. They make a, like, oh my gosh, that's so fucking stupid mistake. It's unbelievable. Like three straight fumbles in a row, or your offensive lineman kicking the ball out of his hands, or hey, I'm running down the field and about to score a touchdown and get strip fumble. You know, or Baker Mayfield throwing at three interceptions on three plays in a row, or Baker Mayfield calling a draw play on fourth and nine. I mean, or the Seahawks game. I mean, that they shoot themselves in the foot, but I don't think that the Broncos offense is good enough to go to get back to my point. 20-13 Browns. But I don't feel great about that. Like, I'm not making that a bet of my week. I'm just telling you right now, I don't, because I wouldn't be shocked if this game was like, you know, 17-16 late and the Broncos were winning and the Browns had to kick a game-winning field goal to win it. I don't know where to go. I just don't trust the Browns, I guess is what I'm saying. All right, you ready to move on to the next one?
Let's move on to the next one. I've changed my mind three times in the last 5 minutes on the next game.
Yeah, Packers, Chargers.
Oh, no. Wrong game. I thought we were getting to Sunday Night Football. No, my mind's not being changed on this one.
Okay, Packers, Chargers. Yeah, Packers, Chargers in L.A. We're going to be way more Packers fans there. This will be a Packers home game. I'm going to say it's 90-10. That's how strong I think the Packers will be in this arena. Don't even know what that thing's called. That soccer field that the Chargers play on, all right? Don't even care.
Dignity Health Sports Park,
Dignity,
a.k.a. Lambeau Field West.
Yep, a.k.a. Chargers fans, have some dignity and show up for your team. Packers, favored by three.
Would you go to see the Chargers? Would you pay for tickets to go see this team play if you lived in L.A.?
Well, I'm a weirdo. I mean, but yes, probably not. I mean, really, if I was going to be like try to put myself in the realistic everyday man shoes, I'm a psycho football guy, and I probably would. But I, to your point, probably not. I get you. Yeah. So Chargers, 3-point underdogs, over under 47. What's your final score, Mike? How do you think this one breaks down?
I can't imagine the Chargers hanging with the Packers. The Packers offense is bordering on unstoppable at this point. It will be Lambeau Field West. I got Packers 34, Chargers 20. I'm giving the Chargers the benefit of some extra points because the Packers defense has been struggling. You've got the new offensive coordinator. Ken Wisenhunt's gone. I don't know if that's going to make a difference for the Chargers. This is not a good year for them. I could see them maybe keeping it to one score, 34-27, because they do tend to play a lot of close games. But I like the Chargers to lose by at least a touchdown in this one. I'll stick with 34-20. So the Packers cover and cover, I think, fairly easily.
Yeah, this is I've got the Packers winning too. So there's no doubt. I kind of went back and forth about how I thought it might shake out in my mind. The Chargers defense, they do have a knack for kind of keeping teams out of the end zone, and you know they're only letting up 19.6 points per game. Their defense, it's 12th in football. It's not bad. I mean, it's been the offense that's been the issue with the Chargers. But they don't stop the run all that well. And that scares me because, like you said, the Packers got it going. They're balanced. They make you defend everything. You know, Ingram and Bosa are the biggest weapons the Chargers have. This is one of the best pass-protecting O-lines in all of football, so that kind of takes that away. And then, as you know, I never like that the Chargers play kind of the same defenses over and over, and that's not always good against a creative offense or a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers. Now, the other thing is I just don't like what I see from the Packers defense. I don't. I think the Chargers are going to move the ball on the Packers. So I'm going with the push here. Again, my second push of the day, but I'm not gonna I'm not gonna veer away. Yeah, boo, boo, you up your boo, boo. But I think I'm gonna
up your boo, Joe.
Up your boo, Joe. Boo. I'm going Packers 27-24. All right. I think this game might be a little closer. Packers feeling themselves. You know, I don't know. I just don't trust the Packers defense is what I'm basically saying. But I do think Aaron Rodgers and their offense will do enough to win the football game. 27-24 Packers. All right.
Yeah, the Packers, well, I see where you're coming from. I still like the Packers, and I like the Packers to win easily.
Don't worry about me.
I'm not down it.
Yeah,
I'm not down it.
Fuck me. Who the fuck said I'm the expert of the world? Who cares about what I say? So here we go. Patriots, Ravens. Yeah, don't agree with me totally. Fuck you, okay? Here we go. Patriots, Ravens. Sunday Night Football. We're pumped. I know that. Yeah, we both are. This is the game of the week in the NFL. Patriots favored by 3.5 in Baltimore, over under 46. What say you, Michael?
Well, you know, it's funny. I've gone through this over and over again, and I settled on the Patriots last night. And then sitting here today, I flip back to the Ravens. And I was going to say Ravens with the caveat that I could change my mind for the Sunday night picks before we lock them in, because we've got the separate competition with Mike Tirico, Tony Dungy, Rodney Harrison, Liam McHugh.
Boo! Stay clear to your picks. Stay true to your picks. Boo!
But that's what I. But here's the thing. If I take the Ravens, I feel much more strongly about reserving the right to change my mind. When I lean Patriots, I don't even have that thought. So I got to go with that. Whatever that is, that visceral sense that's telling me, don't pick against the Patriots. I'm taking the Patriots, 23-15. I don't like that spread. I wish it was a little less, but I like the Patriots. And I'm pulling a score out of thin air and or my butt, 23-15. Patriots find a way. With that defense, they find a way to win the game. The offense has been struggling a little bit in recent weeks, but the defense is so good, and I know that Bill Belichick coach teams have struggled against mobile quarterbacks. They'll have something ready for Lamar Jackson, and I wouldn't be surprised. How do I put this without, you know, I just wouldn't be surprised if Lamar Jackson ends up missing some time during the game, because I think they're going to be physical with him like the Steelers tried to be a few weeks ago, and it could put him on the sidelines and put RG3 on the field. Not that there'll be any bounties or anything like that or dirty hits. I could just see something like that happen.
Well, I mean, yeah, they're certainly going to want to be physical. I don't deny that. And, you know, the Patriots are so aware of who they're playing, the skill set, everything like that. You know, yeah, I do think that Bill Belichick and that defense are going to pose some problems with Baltimore. Now, the interesting thing about this matchup, like the Patriots, just from an X and O standpoint, they don't like to get big, right? Like, they like to have, like, two defensive linemen on the field and then three linebackers, four linebackers. You know, sometimes it's 3D linemen and it's three linebackers. But more times they're not. It's 2D linemen and a mix of linebackers who are versatile and five or six DBs. That's where they – and now Baltimore's the exact opposite. Baltimore wants to be like, we don't even need a receiver on the field. We're going to go like two running backs and three tight ends and smash it down your face. I'm interested to see what the Patriots do there as far as, do they try to get big or do they stick with what's been working all year long, which is like, hey, we're going to play man-to-man, put some pressure on our secondary, do some creative things on the back end from here or there, but really try to confuse you with people all over the place at the line of scrimmage, who's blitzing, who's coming. Oh, we were in this defensive front. Now on this play, we're on this defensive front. Now the next play, we're in a totally different one, and you can't get a beat on what the hell we're trying to do. That's what the Patriots are doing to teams. On the other side of the ball, okay, just real quick, the Patriots offense, you said it, it's not hitting on all cylinders. The offensive line, you know, not healthy or where they want it to be. And just to make sure, what is our tackle from Georgia? Is he playing this week? I thought he was
practicing. Isaiah Wynn?
Yes, exactly. Sorry, I couldn't think
he's
of his
name.
He's
been designated for return. I just don't know that he's going to return this week.
Okay, so they're still hurting there. Now, I do think the Baltimore can beat them up in the run game when the Patriots try to do that, but I don't know if Baltimore's got the pass rush to do that. And then I go, okay, so Baltimore's going to try to blitz maybe and play man-to-man. Now, they can probably play some man-to-man against this Patriots wide receiving core and have success. I mean, hey, it's Marcus Peters and, Marlon Humphrey, who's one of the best corners in football. And they got some other guys, Anthony Everett, other guys out there who can cover too, to where I think that could make it interesting as well. But ultimately, I'm with you. I'm going to go with the fact that the Ravens haven't seen a defense like this, scheme-wise or personnel-wise. And as much as the Patriots haven't played a defense like the Ravens, I just think the way they play offense will correlate to them finding some ways to move the ball just a little bit more. Low scoring, I'm going. 20-16 Patriots pulling off the win on the road.
And covering by half a point.
Covering by half a point. But I was with you, Mike. I went through some things in my head where I went, man, maybe the Ravens win 20-17. Maybe they can win a 16-13 game. But I just think ultimately I can't do that. I just can't. I can't pick against the Patriots quite yet, even though I do have slight concerns about their offense in general.
Even though the last time we saw the Ravens play, they were beating the Seahawks by 14 in Seattle, The rest of their wins were not overly impressive.
Exactly.
They beat the Bengals by 6 at home. They beat the Cardinals by 6 at home. They lost to the Browns at home. That ultimately swayed me on this. And, you know, the Patriots are the epitome of focus and determination. And even though this is one of the tougher spots on the schedule so far, I think they rise to the challenge.
Yep. Okay. Cool. All right. You ready to go to the next one? Monday Night Football?
Yes.
The Cowboys at the Giants. Cowboys off the bye week, favored by 7. Giants came coming off a decent game. Daniel Jones was phenomenal last week in Detroit. I mean, phenomenal. He really was. I mean, every ball I saw was on target, perfect spiral, good power on it. I mean, I was wrong about Daniel Jones, and we had a draft this week about players that surprised us the most, and he was the guy that's surprised me the most, certainly. Over under at 48, Cowboys favored by 7, like I said. How much do you have the Cowboys winning by, Mike?
Yeah, I got the Cowboys winning this one 31-17. I think that going back to MetLife Stadium just a few weeks after losing to the Jets there, I think that gives them a little way to wash that ugly taste out of their mouths. And they handled the Giants with Eli Manning earlier this year, and I think they handle them with Daniel Jones. And this could be the kind of loss in a big spot, prime time, that starts to get the clouds gathering around Pat Shurmur, even though he's only in his second year. We saw Ben McAdoo get fired during his second year as coach, even though he took the team to the playoffs in his first season. I feel like they've had some losses this year that were kind of ugly, and now that the Eli Manning issue is resolved, you know, we don't talk about that. We don't talk about Daniel Jones. We don't talk about Dave Gettleman. We don't talk about John Mara. And I think that as each week goes by, Pat Shurmur is going to become more and more the focal point of the criticism and the scrutiny. And by the end of the year, who knows what happens with him?
Yeah, it does seem like it's trending that way a little bit. And, yeah, I don't know where that's going to go, because the Giants are one of those teams that they don't want to make quick and abrupt changes. But, yeah, you know, I think the big thing I look at is, you know, Pat Shurmur, I feel like, you know, to a degree, to what you're saying, is falling out of public favor a little bit too, which could hurt him up here. Cowboys are still a really good team. I'm not giving up on the Cowboys. I'm really not. And I just look at this Giants defense first off and go, ugh, you got to play the Cowboys? Good luck. I mean, the Giants defense is not good, and they're going to play one of the more balanced offenses in all of football that can gash you in the run game and torch you in the pass game. So that scares me for them. Now, I think the Giants will move the ball on the Cowboys at times, more just because, you know, Shurmur's a decent game planner. He does try to stay balanced himself. And because Dallas plays the same defense all the time, you know, I think the Giants will be able to game plan a play here and there to kind of move the ball. But ultimately, my score is very similar to yours. I'm going Cowboys 31-20. I just don't see the Giants defense really ever stopping this crew. And also, I'll just say this one little last inkling about this game before we wrap this whole thing up is I like that the Cowboys traded for Michael Bennett. You know, they lost Tyrone Crawford. Tyrone Crawford's like been one of their better defensive players on that team the last 4 or 5 years. Not having him was big. It lost, you know, lose their depth, their versatility. Getting Michael Bennett to fill in for that role, Michael Bennett will fit in a lot better in the Dallas scheme, which is like Seattle, which is where he originated from, than he did in New England. And I just thought that was a good move by the Jones family. But either way, we see it the same way. I gave the Giants an extra field goal. Cowboys 31-20. And now it's for the three best bets of the week, okay? And we're on fire. We're on a heater. We make some monies. Before we get into the best bets, I want to say this. I never say this. But for some reason, I'm going to put myself on a limb and just tell all the bettors out there, I like the over in the Lions-Raiders and the Bucs-Seahawks game a whole lot. It's not my best bets, but I'm just saying I like it. It jumped out to me as we went through the picks on the podcast. So I started, and I just want to throw that out there. If I'm wrong, I won't ever talk about it again. Michael, first best bet of week 9. Who do you got?
You know, I've changed my mind on a couple of these, and I really like the 49ers tonight, but I don't like making them a best bet because I like to be able to push our best bets into Sunday, and if I take a Thursday game, I can't do it. But I really do like the 49ers to cover tonight, so consider that a bonus best bet. If you're betting tonight, I love the 49ers to cover the 10.5-point spread. My first official best bet will be the Seattle Seahawks. winning by more than 5.5 points over the 2-5 Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah.
Jameis Winston can be counted on to do Jameis Winston things. Pete Carroll, as I said earlier, will be taking this one personally because of some of the verbal back and forth between him and Bruce Arians when Arians was head coach of the Cardinals. So I like the Seahawks to atone for a couple of home losses and a near loss to the Rams. Win this one, move to, I believe it'll be 7-2, which will be incredibly impressive for a Seahawks team that not many people still believe in. So I like the Seahawks to cover. And I've been riding the Seahawks week in and week out. They didn't let me down last week, and I don't think that they'll let me down this week as 5.5-point home favorites.
Yeah, I hear you there. There's certainly logic there. Like I've said, I'm a little scared of that Buccaneers pass game to where I couldn't pull the trigger on that one. It was one of those, though, on my original list of best bets. I'm going with my first one tonight. I'm going with the 49ers. You know, I actually like betting on the Thursday game because I feel like I get one out of the way and I go, oh, yeah, I'm already 1-0. I only got to win two of them on Sunday. I got the 49ers winning 34-13. I just think they're in a different class than this Cardinals team. I'm going to ride the points and go with it. I think they get it done. All right, pick number two.
Pick number two, I like the Green Bay Packers to cover the 3-point spread at Lambeau Field West against the Chargers team that, even though they won last week, they had no business winning. They have this feel of a team that really is on the brink of falling apart, and they fired their offensive coordinator after a win. That's part of the on-the-fly, seat-of-the-pants, change-the-tire-on-a-moving-car reality they've been dealing with. It really is going to be embarrassing. If the Sunday night game against the Steelers was embarrassing, this is going to be worse. It's going to be cheeseheads galore at that Dignity Health Sports Park or whatever the place is called. Whatever they paid for that, they didn't pay enough because I can't remember the name of it, although I think that's the right name. Packers win by more than 3 points, well over 3 points. The score I have is 34-20. Even if it's 34-27, they still cover, and I like the Packers a lot.
Yeah, I'm probably wrong with this one. And I got the Packers only winning by three, and I'm just scared of that Packers defense, and I'm probably being chicken there. All right, gonna get to my second one. I'm going with the Titans. You know, Panthers are favored by 3.5 at home.
Ooh.
And I'm going to do it. Yeah, I do. I mean, I guess the 0.5 really sells me too. Because I feel like if the Panthers win, it will be by a late field goal. And I feel that 0.5 makes me feel good. But regardless, I think the Titans are going to win this game straight up. I think they match up well with the Carolina Panthers. I'm going Titans 20-16. And, you know, I had some, this is the one I kind of flipped between because I thought about the Bears, just to give some insight here to the fans out there. I did think about the Eagles over the Bears in that game. But I want to see the Eagles one more week before I want to put them into a best bet. And I thought about the Colts. But the Colts, like you said in the breakdown, it's kind of like sometimes a little all over the place just as far as how good they play. And that scared me. But, yeah, I'm going with the Titans here. I think this is the type of team that they do beat on the road, and I like Tannehill, and I like the way the defense matches up with Carolina. All right, number three. Who you got, Flores?
Number three, we're stretching it all the way to Monday night. The Dallas Cowboys only given 7 to the New York Giants, as I said earlier, atoning for the loss at MetLife Stadium to the Jets. That was a fluke. That was an aberration. They're going to go back there, and they're going to make quick work of the Giants. I wish it was a more compelling Monday night game. It won't be. Cowboys 31, Giants 17. Cowboys continue to make their push in the right direction. I mean, they just beat the Eagles 37-10. They're going to get up early. They're going to harass Daniel Jones. They're going to score points. They're going to score points. And by the third quarter, we're going to be wishing the thing was over.
Yeah, I'm going there too. That's my third best bet of the week. So that's our one overlap we have this week. We've had a lot of overlaps lately. But,
well, we would have had two, but I decided to be able, for business purposes only, I want to be able to market our best bets video into Sunday, and if I don't waste one of my picks on the Thursday night game, it's more marketable that way. You don't care about those things because you have no business sense.
Oh, my gosh.
That's why you took the 49ers.
Cry me a fucking river, Justin Timberlake, all right? Jeez. Nope, I want to win. That's what I want to win, all right? I just want to win. I told you I'm here to beat your ass and straight up and against the spread, our best bets, I mean, straight up and best bets. I want to whoop your ass. That is my goal. I wake up on Thursday morning eating my Wheaties going, how do I beat Florio's ass today? But I'm with you with the Cowboys, 31-20 there. And that's it. All done. Chris Sims unbuttoned PFT PM collaboration. There's our best bets. Mike's got the Seahawks. Mike's got the Packers. Mike's got the Cowboys. Sims has got the Niners. Sims has got the Titans. Sims has got the Cowboys. So there we go.
You refer to yourself in the third person?
Yeah, you know, that's cool. It's a cool thing to do right now. That's what I just did. Yep, you know, Bo knows Bo. Sims knows Sims.
George is getting upset.
Yeah, yeah, deal with it. All right, have a good weekend, everybody. Enjoy the games. Mike, I'll see your ass Sunday. I got to go get ready to go to Notre Dame and South Bend. Some of us got to work while you have days off, okay? So enjoy your time, your little cozy
home. You really
want
to go there? You want to go there on the way
out? Oh, we
got to
end the podcast. Yeah. We got to end the podcast. Bye-bye now. See you later. Peace, everyone. Bye.